Welcome, Delco. It's great to have you guys again. We're in week 47, I think. Is that about right, Steven?
Week 47, something like that.
It's something like that, man.
It's the last week of the evangelism series.
I know, it is the last week of the evangelism series, which is nuts. This has been one of my favorite series. I think we've had tons of discussion. I think we've had really good conversations around evangelism. I think evangelism is a scary subject and it's an exciting subject, but man, there's just a lot going on. And honestly, this is kind of like the big culmination, right? We've talked about so many different things. We've talked about, getting your own heart ready through confession and silence and solitude. We've talked about, interceding on behalf of the people that you're trying to evangelize to, the people you're trying to love on.
Listening.
About how to listen to people, that, you know, listening is going to build a relationship that allows you to pour into them. It gives you a better idea on how to intercede to them, how to meet needs that they might have. So like we've covered the whole gambit, but Steven, there's one thing we haven't covered officially.
And it's sharing your story. It's the big kahuna when we think of evangelism. And honestly, just one thing to add, we are at the last point, or the last like stop in a sense in this series, and our expectation is not that we're all going to be fully formed perfect disciples after this series. The hope is that we'll all identify what is the next step for me to grow in this area. What is the next step for me to grow in listening, growing, and sharing the story? So today, as we head into this last topic, Brad, why did we do this one last?
Well, I think I use the word culmination. I really do think that the actual, you know, the actual time that you share your story and the gospel, the Bible story, I think that it really is the culmination of the building of a relationship in a person's life. Yeah. And sometimes that relationship is built over a short period of time. Sometimes, man, God gives you that moment, you know, the famous airplane moment, where, you know, you sat next to a person for one, you know, 1 to 2 hour flight, and you had a good conversation, and you go, man, I might never see this person again. And the Lord's prompting me, and boom, you have this conversation with them.
For sure.
But more often in my life, I've seen these conversations come as a part of regular weekly or monthly contact with people, where you build a personal relationship and kind of see where it goes. And the Holy Spirit works through that relationship to lead you to this point where you start to share your own personal grace testimony, and where you share the gospel grace testimony of Christ's death on the cross. And when we look at scripture, we see a lot of examples of Christ commanding us or setting the example for us of sharing the testimony. You know, in Mark, He heals a man, and it says he did not permit him to tell everyone. I don't remember what he didn't permit.
He did not permit him to. He wanted to go with Jesus.
That's right. He wanted to go with Jesus. Yeah. Jesus was like, no, you're not coming with me. But he said, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.
Yeah.
Man, like if there's anything that's powerful in this world, it's stories of transformation, right? Like, one of the reasons we love, you know, television shows, the reasons we love things like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, movie series, is because we get to see people, you know, these movie and television characters transform from one thing into another. You know, one famous example in Christian books and cinema would be like the story of Edmund from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, right? So, like, at the start of the book, he's super jealous and frustrated and angry with Lucy and all this stuff. What'd you say?
He's a little punk.
He is a little punk. He's the worst, man. And if you've ever actually had Turkish Delight, like, you're like, man, you sold out your family for this? Like, it's disgusting. But he sells out his family to the White Witch and just betrays them all. But by the end of the book, you know, you have Aslan sacrificing his life for Edmund, and Edmund is redeemed, and he fights on the side of his family, and, you know, he's transformed from being a petty, jealous, you know, just the worst. Like, he really is just the worst. By the end of it, you've seen him transformed by Aslan's love, by his family's love, into somebody that you're like, oh yeah, Edmund's a good dude. I kind of like him.
Yeah. And then you also see like the same sort of transformation happening with Iron Man. There's a lot of fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I guess I'm not quite sure. I don't want to ruin the whole story. Basically, just think of how selfish Tony Stark is at the beginning of this. He's like the billionaire playboy. He's only concerned about himself. And then for those of you who have seen it, when you think of his last scene, he's doing something incredibly selfless. Maybe even me being vague about it's ruining the story too. You're probably making assumptions, but
if you haven't seen it by now, then that's on you. But yeah, like it's these stories of transformation that really capture the human heart, right? And I think it's because humans as a whole around the globe, there's always this like existential dread that like, what if I never change? What if this is all that there is in life? You know, we're going to be moving into a series on Ecclesiastes. And this is like the big question, like, is life meaningless? Like yeah, when I make money, when I eat ice cream with my family, when I, you know, when I go live my life, is it all meaningless? Is it all just a vapor that I can't really hold on to? Or is there actual purpose in this world? And I think that stories of transformation are one of the things that give us hope that like, yeah, there actually is purpose in this world. We're working towards something, towards somewhere. And when it comes to evangelism, I firmly believe that these stories of transformation are absolutely huge. You know, we here at Delco, we call it the grace testimony. That our grace testimony is a story of when we were saved and how God brought us from darkness into light. You know, that's one part of it. But the second part of it is, man, in the last week of my life, how have I fallen short of, you know, what God has intended for me or who God is creating me to be? And how did God show me grace in that moment rather than punish me? You know, the world always wants to punish and bring down whenever someone screws up, right? Like look at the press, look at the media. As soon as anyone in a position of power has any sort of scandal, whether it's, you know, stealing money, you know, whether it's sexual scandal, whether it's anything, there's immediately punishment, 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 you know, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be punishment for wrongdoing in places of power. But what I am saying is in our own personal lives, Christ continues to offer us opportunities to change and be transformed. And in the end, true transformation doesn't come from being punished. You know, external change might happen a little bit. You might hide your wrongdoing so that, you know, you don't get caught. But actual true transformation comes when we are shown grace, when we're loved despite our fallen nature. Yeah. And so when we think about evangelism and we think about how we can invite people into this life with Christ, I really do think the first part of it is that you build up a relationship with someone and they get to see you in your normal life and you get to just continually say, man, like when we offend that person, we say, you know what? Like God's making me into this kind of a person, but I really fell short of that. And I'm so sorry. How did that impact you? And then you reaffirm, I'm going to continue to try to be the person that God's making me to be. And man, I do not want to do this again. And I really think that when we continually point people towards Christ by saying, this is the person who Christ wants me to be, I think people will take notice.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I almost interrupted you earlier. That's an example of what not to do in your evangelizing is interrupting someone. You listen like Randy teaching us. But just to go with your example, I'll share a quick story. When I was in high school, honestly, I think I was a better evangelist in high school. And then I just went to seminary and was only around Christians, and then I got freaked out. But my cousin, is not a Christian, and I remember she was asking me like what was going on in life, and I remember I was sharing with her like kind of along with your formula. I remember I was like, I've been like, I feel like I keep messing up, I keep making mistakes, I'm not being the person that God wants me to be, the person that He has in mind for me, but He's not he's not heaping condemnation on me. And this is how he's making me into a new person. His son came and died, and he rose again. And his son, who lived the perfect life, it lives in me, and I find myself increasingly living into the way that God wants me to. And I remember she was super responsive to that. I remember she was like, I'd never preached a sermon at that point yet, but I remember her saying, I would listen to you preach. And so it's good news to people, even if they're not willing to fully place their trust in it. It's good news to everybody.
Yeah. And I do want to make a quick clarification here. We're not talking about works-based righteousness, yeah, right? Like, we're not talking about, you know, oh, I earned my salvation because I transformed myself, right? Like, that is not what we're talking about. This is not a legalism. This is not a check these 97 boxes to receive salvation. And every single one of those boxes is, well, you need to get better at this, and you need to get better at that, and you need to stop yelling at your kids, and you need to stop being lustful, and you need to, like, yep, that's not what we're talking about here. The beautiful thing is you get the free gift of salvation, and through that gift and through that grace, that's what starts to transform you.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We do not have a God, or there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right?
Amen. Yeah.
So Brad, you kind of talked about how you're almost like kind of laying a path for us. How you said, you start with relationship. Even with our series, we encourage listening and prayer. And as that relationship unfolds, as you meet them on their turf, and maybe you invite them onto your turf, spaces will come up where you begin sharing these stories of how God's bringing transformation in your life. But eventually, this is likely going to get into more of the specifics of our faith, right? What does that look like?
And not when you say our faith, you're not talking about like Brad G's faith. You're talking about the like Christian,
capital F.
Yeah, capital the capital F, F Christian faith. Yeah. And I think when it gets into that point, we do need a confidence in what the biblical narrative is, right?
The story of the Bible.
The story of the Bible. And that's why we started the series by talking about the biblical narrative, the story of the Bible. And when you go back through it, you see the story of creation, that we were meant for a purpose. You see a fall into darkness from our original purpose of light and love and relationship and intimacy. We fell from that into darkness. Excuse me. And then where do we move? Into redemption. And with that story of redemption, we are brought from the darkness back into the light. And then the final part of the story is consummation, right? And Stephen, what's a better word for consummation?
I'd say like fulfillment, maybe, like when everything's made the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, like, I think when you look at the biblical story, you start here at creation, you go into the fall, redemption's kind of a middle point. It's a path upwards, and then fulfillment at the very end, that's like the end goal, right? Yep. And so the reason we share that biblical narrative is because that's really the story that when somebody goes, all right, man, Stephen, I've seen you in your life. I've seen, like, you continually tell me about, you know, man, Christ is creating me into this, and I didn't live up to it, and you apologize, and it's really weird. But, like, it's interesting. I'm intrigued. What is it about the Christian faith that makes you, like, into this person? Like, clearly there's something more than just a normal human being here. What is it about your faith that's big? And that's when you have this opportunity to say, man, well, I just really believe that God created us for a purpose. And I believe that we fell from that purpose. And right now we're in a state of redemption where God is redeeming human beings one at a time, myself included, and that you have an opportunity to become redeemed as well. You know, and maybe you don't use the word redeemed. Maybe you use the word transformed. What would be another good word that's just redeemed, simplified?
Oh, maybe like made whole, made new, restored. I think we all have a sense that something's wrong. So I think that language makes sense to people.
Yeah.
Like Ecclesiastes, people know, people feel that angst.
Yeah. I think restored is a great word. I'm trying to, you know, my preaching teacher in undergrad always said, like, do not use Christianese when you're talking to non-Christians. And even redemption, like I think the average, you know, person in America would know the word redemption, but like I think restored would be a better word. So yeah, you tell people about, you know, this was our original purpose and I'm trying to live up to it, but I'm fallen. I'm being restored into that original purpose. And someday it's all going to come together and we're going to be fulfilled and fully restored.
Yeah.
And I think that if you have just that simple biblical narrative, creation, fall, redemption or restoration and fulfillment, like I think any Christian can have that simple four-part story. And if you need to, you can pull in some Bible verses there. Depending on who the person you're talking to is, sometimes it's helpful because they have some background with the Bible. For some people, they've never opened a scripture in their life. So if you start saying, oh, Genesis 1:1, we were created, and Romans this and that, like they might not know what you're talking about. And it's important to get them into scripture, but maybe the important thing right then is just to get the bare bones, like, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to like sealing the deal, right? Because I think a lot of us have this picture of like having that prayer, you know, like Stephen, like you're talking to your cousin about transformation in your life and she goes, oh, well, I want that too. How do I receive that? What would you say to somebody who's like, man, I need to learn how to do that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think one thing, I know we were talking about seal the deal language. I think I even brought it up right before. But as I'm listening to it, I think that's almost, in some ways, it's inappropriate because we're not the ones sealing the deal. It's like the Holy Spirit is ultimately always the one who's changing people. So we're part of that. I guess we're part of the process of the Holy Spirit sealing their hearts. But sorry, what was your question again?
Well, so in that moment of somebody saying, I want this thing you have, Jesus, this faith, whatever it is, I want it.
Yep.
How would you go about that? And with the disclaimer, obviously these are all individual situations. And I'm just going to say this, trust the Holy Spirit to guide you in that moment. But if you needed general advice on that, what kind of advice would you give, Stephen?
Yeah. So I think I'd even kind of have the creation or the story of the Bible in mind. People have a sense of the fall. They may not use that language. But I've heard of this Zach Meerkreeps. He was a pastor at our church plant in Lexington. He kind of offered or suggested this way where, like, when you lead him into prayer. So first you ask, like, is Jesus the person who is making me into someone new? Or the person who is restoring me? You've heard the stories I've been sharing. Is he someone you would want to place your trust in? And perhaps they ask what that means, you have conversation, but if they are in fact ready, Zach kind of offered this illustration where you invite them to pray and you'll just ask them, you'll explain to them that they're praying to Jesus and you'll give them the words to pray because this is maybe the first time they've ever prayed. So you can invite them to repeat after you, but say, we're going to talk to Jesus, close your eyes. And then you could invite them even to hold out your hands, place in your mind's eye, like all the crud, the brokenness, the pain, the hurting questions you have, like place those in your hand and just like imagine like a loving person standing in front of you. Then you can invite them, so after you have all those things in your mind, repeat after me, like, Jesus, I give you all these things. Then they repeat that. Then you can invite them to say, Jesus, I give you my life and I place my trust in you. Mm. And I receive your forgiveness and healing. So you like say those phrases and I think you would move people through encountering Jesus for the first time. That's something that the Holy Spirit's heart is for every man, woman, and child that's been alienated from him from the beginning.
Yeah. And I think if you'll let me get technical for just a minute, the moment that you're talking about there, I think that we would call it the moment of justification, right? And justification is a big word, but really what it means is the moment where you get salvation. It's that moment where
you're adopted.
Go ahead.
I just said you're adopted.
You're adopted. Yeah. It's that moment where, like, you know, let's say that you and your spouse are working to adopt a kid and you've done all the paperwork, but there's that last dotted line that once you sign this, you have adopted them, right? And in that moment of justification, God signs his name on the dotted line and says, Stephen Anderson, you are now my son. You know, Amanda Smith, you are now my daughter. Like, that's that moment that we're talking about when we get to pray with them the biblical narrative and say, Jesus, I trust you and I entrust my transformation story into your hands. And in that moment, boom, we receive justification. But the beautiful thing is that salvation is a two-part activity. That there's a singular moment, justification, when we entrust our life to Christ, where God signs his name on the dotted line, where we're adopted in that moment. You know, the moment before, we were not sons or daughters. The moment after, boom, son or daughter of God. Amen. But the second part of salvation is called sanctification. And sanctification is not a one-moment thing. No, it's a progressive act of cleansing that happens for the rest of our life. You know, and that's like when we talk about redemption in the biblical story, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that movement from the fallen nature up towards the fulfilled final nature.
Amen.
And so that's the second part of inviting somebody into a life with Christ. You know, we don't just say the prayer with them and say, all right, here's a Bible, you're good to go, and then never talk to them again. The beautiful thing is we get to walk with them on that path. And that's what we call discipleship, right? On a very literal level, discipleship means imitate me, try to be like me. You know, as I try to imitate Christ, you try to imitate the Christ in me. And so that sanctification is a key part of salvation, that we get to walk that path with them. And if we've built up the relationship before the moment of justification,
yep,
then it just makes sense that you keep walking with them through the process of sanctification. And honestly, like, that's it. That's our teaching for today. Like, that is evangelism when it comes to sharing your testimony. And we have three things that we're going to talk about and on our discussion for Sunday. Which I'm really excited. I think this is going to be a great discussion.
Yeah.
But the first question would be, are you willing to practice that formula, the relationship formula with someone who loves you? And the formula, we kind of hinted at it, but I'm going to lay it out really obvious right now.
We'll have it in the worksheet that'll be attached in the email too.
Yes, we'll have it in the worksheet. So the formula is this. When you're in relationship with somebody and you're building up that relationship, there's going to be times where you mess up. Sometimes it'll be obvious to the other person, sometimes it won't. But the formula goes like this. You go to the person and you say, we'll use the name Bob. You say, hey, Bob, like, this is how I've fallen short. You know, I feel like I wronged you when I thought this or when I did that or, you know, how whatever you did. This is how I've fallen short. The second part is you name why it doesn't line up with God's intentions. You know, you say, hey, like, I feel like God is transforming me into a person who loves better. And in that moment, I didn't love you really well. And you say, and you apologize. And you say, you know, how did that impact you? You know, if it did at all, or hearing about it, does that impact you in any way? And then you just say, you know what, this isn't who God's creating me to be. And I'm going to try to be better. And so it's three parts. This is how I've fallen short. This is why it doesn't line up with God's intentions. And this is who God is creating me to be. And so the question is, are you willing to practice that with people who love you, with a spouse, with a brother, a sister, or with somebody in Delco? It's really hard. Stephen, it's something that we've kind of discovered over the past year or two, and it's not easy, is it?
Yeah. I mean, to give a personal example, I could say, Randy, I did not listen very well when you got home from work. I did not empathize, and God, desires me to be a person that is dignifies my wife with my attention. God is making me into a person who can show compassion to others. I did not show up the way I wanted to, and I hope to do that in the future. And then, like you said, sorry. But yeah, I think that ministers to Christians and non-Christians alike.
Yeah, it does. So yeah, first discussion question, are you willing to practice that formula? And kind of who are you going to practice it with? Second question, do you feel confident in knowing the biblical narrative of transformation? The creation, fall, redemption or restoration, and fulfillment. And that's something we'll talk about. We'll talk about ways you can grow more confident in that. We'll talk about Bible passages that represent each part of that story. But yeah, so question number two, how confident do you feel in knowing that biblical narrative? And then the third question, which I think might be our most lively discussion point, is, you know, sealing the deal. How do you know when to ask that question of salvation of someone? And like, what questions do you ask to kind of get you there?
Yeah.
And once again, there is a part of it that just says, yeah, that's a case-by-case basis. And you being guided by the Holy Spirit will know those things to ask in that time. But on another hand, it's wise to prepare. And so that's what we want to do this Sunday with our discussion.
Yeah, I think with that third question, I've only been in that moment twice of asking somebody. And one time they said they're not ready. The other time, but because of like the relationship, it was safe and it was like a really beautiful moment still. The second person, they committed and then they renounced. So that was like a weird situation. But I've just not had experience there. So I'm really curious to see what the evangelists in our church who have experience, how they can sharpen me in that way.
Yeah. So that's it, guys. I am super pumped to talk about this with you guys on Sunday. We love you guys. Stephen, do you have any final thoughts?
No. Keep leaning in, pressing what Jesus has for you.
Yep. We love you guys. We'll catch you on Sunday.